In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I feel sorry for Cain. Because Cain was a man who had no peace. He was in bondage. He was in bondage to his own sin, his self-righteousness, and his pride. His offering was not accepted, not because there was anything wrong with the offering in and of itself, but rather because he brought his offering to the Lord of the first fruits, not out of a faith in the undeserved grace of God, but out of a works righteous faith in himself. I feel sorry for Cain. It is out of this self-righteous faith that he rose up against his brother, this man of the dust, killing the shepherd out of envy and jealous hatred. Abel's offering was accepted not because it was better than Cain's, but because it was offered out of faith in the grace of God, the mercy of God, out of thankfulness for a love and a forgiveness and a salvation that Abel did not deserve. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I empathize with Cain because I see in Cain the same flesh, the same tendency to self-righteousness and pride, as I see in my own sinful flesh. And you should too. It is not given to us to condemn Cain. That's God's work. It is given to us, rather, to identify in Cain what we see in ourselves. And like the tax collector in the temple, to cry out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Otherwise, we fall into the exact same trap that we see in the Pharisee. I thank God I'm not like Cain. Oh, wretched men and women that we are. God, be merciful to me, to us as sinners. You see, Cain's withholding of compassion and mercy toward his brother was a direct result of his works righteous faith. His bondage to sin was not merely a bondage to the breaking of God's law under the Ten Commandments, which it certainly was, but his bondage was the abject refusal to live in mercy. And when that is the faith of our heart, it leads to no peace, no contentment, no joy in our lives as Christians. In the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, it's so simple, but I think it's so easy then to miss some wonderful, comforting lessons of God's grace. We see the Pharisee, I thank God I'm not like other sinners, especially like this tax collector. I fast, I do this, I do that. But it's the tax collector tax collectors in league with the Romans, notorious for lining their own pockets with excess profits from the taxes they collected, stands afar off and is ashamed of himself. And he beats his breast and he says, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Now don't get the idea that his confession is a good work on his part that causes God to forgive him and to justify him. His confession, God be merciful to me, a sinner, was born out of the repentance and faith that God himself had worked in his heart. Remember St. Paul's words, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that faith, which is a repentant faith that renounces self and confesses sins, that faith is not even of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. He's ashamed and he prays, God be merciful to me, a sinner. There is freedom in confessing sin. Unlike Cain or the Pharisee who confessed no sin of their own, there is freedom in confessing sin, in coming face to face with the acknowledgement of the reality of who we are and that I am cut from the same cloth as you are, as Cain was, as Abel was, as both the Pharisee and the tax collector were. God be merciful to me, a sinner. Acknowledges that I have no goodness of my own, but rather my goodness and my righteousness and comes entirely from my Lord as a free gift of his grace. Is that not what St. Paul said? You he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. Other than being by nature sinful and unclean, dead in trespasses and sins, unable to save ourselves, not because we daily sin much, which we do in thought, word, and deed, but because this state of being, we are sinners. God be merciful to me, a sinner. Other than the fact that we are shot through and through with sin according to our sinful nature, we're pretty good folks. How absurd. There is freedom in confessing sin. Not only my sin, but the acknowledgement in repentant faith that I am no different from my harshest critic or my biggest enemy. For us as Christians, the comfort and the peace of life and the capacity to stand with one another and before God in the joy of salvation and in true freedom comes from the grace of God. This undeserved mercy and compassion and love that we see in Jesus throughout the entirety of the Scriptures. The grace of God in Christ is the fountain and source of everlasting freedom. Freedom from the accusation of God's law. Freedom from the judgment of hell and the condemnation that we rightfully deserve. And a freedom that is anchored in the works of another. In the account of Cain and Abel, it is a wonderful picture of humanity, isn't it? Cain, the man who tilled the dust. We are all formed from the dust, and we're all descendants of Adam. But by the grace of God, there is one who entered into the world and took upon himself the likeness of sinful flesh, yet was without sin in order to make the sin of the world his own. The greater shepherd. Abel was a shepherd, and he points to the greater shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep of fallen humanity. This is what the grace of God is all about. The undeserved compassion and mercy and love of another who not only intercedes and interposes his own blood for us, but he does it willingly. It is as if it was his greatest delight to take your sin and mine and even the sins of all of his enemies, those who would never believe in him, upon himself, and to lay down his life in the death of the cross in order to redeem us. Who can fathom this grace of God? Our entire life as Christians is a life in which we learn every day more and more deeply the comfort and the profound power of God's grace. It is the fountain and source of freedom that God in Jesus justifies me, declares me righteous, as he did that tax collector in the parable. He went home justified, righteous, lacking nothing, without blemish. As far as the east is from the west, so far had his transgressions been removed from him. And the same is true for you. In the waters of holy baptism, you are clothed with the righteousness of Christ. And every time you confess your sin, every time you receive the Lord's body and blood, that justification, that righteousness is yours. And it is your defense against every assault of the law of the evil one, of every enemy, to stand right with God for Jesus' sake is the source of true freedom. The grace of God justifies me. Christ's forgiveness is not only for me, but it is for all. And learning to believe that gives us great freedom to live with one another, to pray for one another, that they learn to rely upon this grace of God for themselves more than anything else. St. Paul, in the Ephesians 2 passage, has that classic verse that we all as Lutherans know by heart, for by grace you've been saved through faith. And that is not of yourselves. That faith is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. But the next part is also wonderfully comforting. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. What St. Paul teaches us is that the grace of God that saves us from our sin, that justifies us, is also the power of God not only for salvation, as he would say in Romans 1:16, but the grace of God is also the fountain and source of the good works that God in Christ by grace produces in us. The grace of God produces fruit, the fruits of love and joy and peace and patience and the disposition of confident freedom before God. And it also produces the greatest work that we as Christians are fashioned and formed by the grace of God to live in. And that is forgiveness for one another. This is what we're called to. By my own reason or strength, I can't believe. And by my own reason or strength, there is no capacity to produce the fruits of faith in me or in you, or to forgive one another as God in Christ has forgiven us. But there is good news. The more we struggle with sin, the more he calls us to receive his grace. The more we live with one another, the more he teaches us that his grace is the fountain and source of true freedom, that we might live in that compassion and mercy for one another. I tell you, the tax collector went home justified. And so shall you, here before the altar of the Lord, as you receive his body and blood, confessing your sin, letting go of the sins of one another committed against you, and with your singular focus upon the grace of God in your dear Redeemer. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.